We started last week a study focusing on this question right here. Do you believe God? Okay, and that's what we're doing. We're looking at this particular aspect of do we truly believe what God says in His Word? There's a lot of things that people believe in today. We ask, like, do you believe in magic? Okay, do you believe in miracles? We talked about that last time. Do you believe in ghosts? People ask that question. Do you believe in destiny? And here's a question that so many people ask, okay, do you believe in God? Right, well, a lot of people will answer that in the affirmative. Yes, I believe in God. That's not what this study is about. I want you to believe in God, but more importantly, do you believe God? And there is a difference between those two. Okay? A lot of people, again, you ask them the question, they'll say, yes, I believe in God. And basically what they're referring to when they say that is that intellectually they believe that God exists. They believe that there is a deity, a higher authority, a higher power, whatever it is they want to call it. But when they say, I believe in God, that's generally what they're referring to. Okay? But here's the problem with that. Most people, even those who believe in God, don't believe God. Okay? They don't believe what God says in His Word. If they did, if they truly believed God and what He says, all right, then their behavior would reflect that belief. In other words, there'd be a lot of things that would change. So here's a question that I proposed last week, and I want you to be thinking about throughout this series of lessons, okay? How would your life change if you were to stop just simply believing in God and start believing God? In other words, if you were to truly, from the heart, take God at His Word and believe what He says, all right? That's what this study is really all about. We're going to be looking at some things that God has promised, things specifically that He has said in His Word, all right? And then we need to decide how are we responding to what He says. God's made a lot of promises to us. He's given us a lot of warnings in His Word. The question, the issue is, do you believe what God has said? Do you believe Him or do you disbelieve Him? Right? I want you to think about this aspect for just a moment. Think about your life in all kinds of different areas of your life, different aspects, and different things that God has spoken to us in His Word about. Think about all of those different aspects, kind of like this, like all of them are, each of them are different rooms in a house. Okay? When it comes to believing God concerning those things, are there some areas that maybe you have said, no, God, I don't want you to come into this part of my house? You can come into all these other parts, but don't come into this room. And so maybe forgiveness for you, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is one of those areas that you're going, yeah, I know what God says, but I'm not opening that door for Him. And maybe forgiveness is not a problem, but maybe judging other people is an area of your life that you don't want God to come into. Or maybe it's just flat out obeying the things that God has said. Is maybe that an area of your life where you have closed the door to God and said, you can come into all the rest of the aspects of my life, all the rest of the rooms, but not in this room. Or perhaps maybe it's your speech. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about us being accountable for the things that we say. Is that an area, perhaps, of your life where you said, don't want God in there? Or how about with your giving? See? Is that an area where you have decided what it's going to be and you don't want God into that room in your life? Or maybe it's morality. Big problem with folks today, even those who call themselves Christians. Are we saying, God, I know what you say, but I don't want you into this part of my life? You got to stay out of this room because I've decided what I'm going to do. Or how about when it just comes to the way that we treat other people? See? In other words, I want to challenge you to be looking at all the different rooms, so to speak, in your life, and to ask yourself, is there any of them that you have closed the door to God and said, I don't want you in here? By the way, as if He doesn't know what's in there. Okay? Last week, as we began this study, we kind of, as the foundation of this study, focused on a text from James, where James brings to our attention Abraham and God's call to Abraham. We looked at what the writer of Hebrews had to say about Abraham doing what God had told him to do, and he says to him, the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Notice that it doesn't say Abraham believed in God, but that Abraham believed God. When God made promises to Abraham, Abraham believed God in those promises. And that belief in what God had told him is what motivated Abraham to do what God had told him to do. So that's basically the foundation of what we're trying to focus on. Do you, like Abraham, believe God? Okay? This morning, we're going to talk about forgiveness. Forgive me or forgive me not. Okay? Now, if we confess, first line on your notes that you have there, we go over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Where John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and look at this, will forgive us our sins and purify us from how much unrighteousness? From all unrighteousness. Now, that is a promise. It is a statement of fact that John is giving to us. Okay? If we confess our sins, He will forgive them. Why is that so important for us to really hone in on and focus on? Well, because I think a lot of folks have a problem with believing God when it comes to forgiveness. When Joseph found out that Mary, the woman he was betrothed to marry, was pregnant, he had decided, the Bible says, secretly to put her away. In other words, to divorce her quietly and so forth. But an angel appeared to Joseph, and here's what he said to him. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For He will save His people from their sins. In other words, the angel was declaring to Joseph, that's the reason that this baby is coming into the world. He is the Son of God, and He's coming to save God's people from their sins. That's what God says. Do you believe Him? That was a question, okay? That's what God says. Do you believe Him?
Yes.
That's why we need this lesson. That doesn't sound very convincing. You see? When God in His Word is saying to you, if you confess your sins, I will remove those sins. I will forgive those sins. Do you believe Him? He's saying, that's why I sent my Son. Was to take your sins away so that you don't have to die in those sins. But I'm afraid too many folks don't believe it. You've heard me talk about so often what I refer to as the core of the gospel message. John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in adultery, deserving of death. She's brought to Jesus by her accusers who wanted to stone her. And after Jesus basically, you know, challenged them with, okay, whoever is without sin, and that's what the real issue is, then go ahead and cast the first stone. and they all left, John tells us, the oldest to the youngest. Until only Jesus and the woman were left there together. When Jesus said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said, "then neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin." That is the core of what the gospel message of Jesus is all about. That Jesus could very easily have said, "Well, you're guilty of your sin, you're to die." But instead he said, "That's not what I came here for." And he could very well have said, "My name is Jesus. Do you know what that means? I came here to save people from their sins, not to condemn them." "But you've got to change the way you're living your life." That's what he said to her. But God loves every single one of you. And he wants to forgive you of your sin. Do you believe that? I'm afraid too many Christians just simply don't believe that God will forgive their sins. People have questions about things that they have done in their lives. Can God really forgive me? And depending on how bad, quote unquote, those things would be, will God forgive me no matter what I've done? The answer to that is a resounding yes. That is His promise. It doesn't matter what we have done. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will purify us of all our unrighteousness. That is His promise. But too many Christians are living in fear, are living in guilt, being beaten up by Satan because they will not believe what God says concerning this matter. That indeed, He will forgive you. But the other part of this we have to understand. When we're talking about believing God when it comes to forgiveness, first of all, we have to believe that God will indeed forgive us. But there is a "as we also" aspect to this forgiveness, and we need to understand that. We go to, in the text that was read for us this morning as we began, what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Right? And then what? "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, the word for debts here is the word that refers to sin. It's not talking about financial debts here. Okay? It's sin. Forgive us, some of the translations say, "Forgive us our sins." This is the word debt here refers to the debt that we owe against God and the debt that others owe against us. And he says, "Forgive us," this is what he's teaching his disciples to pray, "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now understand, this is the real key to this. "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." What does that really mean? Well, basically it means in the same way. In the same way that we forgive others, we're asking God to forgive us. Now, be careful with that, okay? Do you really understand what that's about, what it's saying here? In the same way that I forgive other people the things that they've done against me, I want God to forgive me in the same way. So, with the same heart, with the same attitude of heart, with the same feelings about it, I want God to do that for me in the same way that I do it for others. So, what does that mean? If I'm not very forgiving and I'm not being willing to forgive from the heart other people, then basically what I'm doing is I'm telling God, "Forgive me the same way." Well, So I think that kind of falls into that category of be careful what you ask for. Okay, you know what I'm saying? All right, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it, right? Because we need to understand it is as we also, as we do to others, God, I want you to do for me. At the end of that prayer, verses 14 and 15, this is what Jesus says. For if, okay, if, that's a big word here, okay, only two little letters, but it's a big word here. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is the conditional nature of forgiveness. And we've talked about before, people say, well, wait a minute, God is a God of love. He's going to forgive everybody, right? No. Okay, you hear me? No. Yes, God is a God of love. God is love. And His love is unconditional. It is agape. That's what that word means. It is unconditional love. God never stops loving us. He never puts us through, we got to jump through a bunch of hoops. We have to do things to earn His love. That is not possible to do. God cannot love you any more or any less than He does right now, no matter what you do. So God's love is unconditional, but His forgiveness is conditional. And we need to know and understand that. Do you believe what He says right here? If you forgive other people, then your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not, He will not forgive you. We need to make sure that we understand that. And then we need to ask ourselves, do I really believe God on that issue? Okay? God's forgiveness is conditioned on our forgiveness of others. Jesus in Matthew 18 is recorded as telling a parable, what is referred to as the unmerciful servant. Okay, and basically, we kind of run through this parable. What's it all about? There's a king that calls his servants to give an account. All right, and he has this one servant that owed, the Bible says, 10,000 talents. You see the number underneath that? I did a little kind of calculating based on my best understanding of what a talent was and what the value of that would be today. How about $198,480,000 in silver as it was priced as of Friday? Okay? That's how much a person today would owe. I don't know about you, but, you know, that's pocket change for me, right? No. No. Not for any of us. In other words, the idea behind this is that that debt is unpayable. There's no way in the world that I could come up with that kind of money to repay that kind of a debt. It's just not going to happen. And that's where Jesus, in telling this parable, uses that amount. So this man owes a debt that there's no way that he's going to be able to pay it back. So he asks the king, he begs the king to give him more time, as if that's going to help, right? But the king does not give him more time. Instead, he forgives the debt. Now just stop and think about that. If you owed somebody $198,480,000, and you said, well, okay, I'm going to pay you back. I just need a little bit more time. And they said, don't worry about it. The debt is canceled. How would that make you feel? To have that kind of a debt just forgiven. You don't owe it anymore. And that's what the king did. The man went out and he found a fellow servant who owed him a very minor debt. Now, the Bible, the story that Jesus tells her, says he owed 100 denarii. That was a denarii when that time was basically one day's wages. Okay? So, you know, 100 days worth of wages is what this man owed. Okay? Now, in the market back then, I know it wasn't anywhere near 198,480,000, okay? So you see the difference in what Jesus is really trying to show here is that the debt that his fellow servant owed him was nothing. By comparison to the debt that he owed to the king, what his fellow servant owed him was nothing. But this servant demanded that his fellow servant pay him back what he owed. And he had him thrown into prison until he could pay the debt back. And then his fellow servant saw how he treated this fellow servant of his, and they went and reported it back to the king. And the king called him back in, and he referred to him as a wicked servant. I cancel your debt for you. Shouldn't you have done the same thing for your fellow servant? And he turned him over to the jailers to have him tortured until he should pay back what he owed. How long is he going to be tortured? Forever. Forever. Because he's not going to be able to pay that back. Now, that's the parable that Jesus tells. And at the end of that parable, this is what Jesus says. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from your heart. Do you believe him? You say, do you believe him? The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 said, forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, how? As God in Christ forgave you. So we need to be looking at, again, the debt that we owe to God and what He has forgiven us, and that should cause us to be more than willing to forgive the sins of others against us. In the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Okay. Who is it that's going to receive mercy? Those who are merciful. Okay? I don't know if you can read this one or not. The forgiveness you get determines, or give rather, determines the forgiveness you get. So what we need to keep in mind is that our challenge is to forgive others as quickly as you expect God to forgive you. I've seen this a couple of times, and I really like what this says. Just let it sink in for a moment. Unforgiveness is like drinking a cup of poison, hoping it hurts the other person. And when we refuse to forgive someone for what they've done, that's basically what we're doing. We're trying to hurt them, and in reality, the only person we're hurting is ourselves. Okay? So let's talk about that for just a moment as we finish up. Hurt me now and forever. It goes back to the part of the issue of forgiving someone not, or refusing to forgive someone. Okay? When I hear people, and I've oftentimes heard people make this kind of a statement, I will never forgive you. I will never forgive him or her for what they did to me. Well, when I hear someone say that, my first thought is they are sealing their fate. Okay? And that fate is this. It is hell. Well, why can we say that? Well, because all of us are sinners. All of us have an enormous debt that we owe to God because of our sin. And there's not a one of us that has the ability to pay that debt back. And so, based on what we've been seeing, that if we say, I will never forgive someone for something they've done, then what we're saying is, I don't want God to forgive me. And since we are all in debt to God for our sin, then what we're doing is condemning ourselves to hell. I don't know how else to put it. But that's what we're doing. You see the little dot that's up there on your left of that line there? I don't know if you can read that or not. That is your life. In terms of the whole, you know, time frame, that is our life. It's a minute little dot. And then eternity goes on from there. So when you die, okay, then you have all the rest, eternity that will never, ever end. That's what eternity is, okay? So when we say we are not going to forgive someone, we refuse to forgive someone for what they have done, then basically what we are doing is we're allowing whatever they did in this life to hurt us for all eternity. Just let that sink in for a moment and then think of this. That person chose to hurt you in whatever way they hurt you, but you choose to let them hurt you for all eternity. That's your choice, not theirs. When you refuse to forgive someone of something that they have done to you, then you are choosing to allow them to hurt you, not only now, but for all eternity. You lose your soul because you refuse to forgive them for what they have done. That's what God's Word says. The question and the issue is, do you believe Him? Okay? So, I like this. Don't let your hate seal your fate. Forgive. Forgive whatever grievance you have against someone. Whatever they have done, I promise you, it in no way can measure up to the debt that you owe God. So, how will believing God in this matter of forgiveness affect your daily life? Okay? What would you change or do different if you truly believed God on this matter of forgiveness? And I think most importantly, how would relationships be different if you truly believed God on this issue? What God is saying to all of us is, it's not enough to just believe in Him. He asks this question, do you believe me? He sent His Son here to die for your sins and mine because He loved us that much. But He requires us to be willing to forgive those who have hurt us. So there's two things I want you to think about while we're singing our invitation song in just a moment. The first one is, I want you to be thinking about your own sins before God. And do you believe the promise that God gave to us that if you have sin in your life that you have not repented of, that you have not confessed before God, then do so this morning and He will forgive you. Do you believe that promise? So my invitation is for you, if there's something that you need forgiveness of, then bring it before God. Ask Him to forgive you. Accept His promise that He will. The second thing is there something that you need to forgive someone else for this morning? Is there something that you've been holding against someone? Something maybe that you have said, I refuse to forgive them. I'll never forgive them. I hope that what I've shared with you this morning will cause you to really seriously reconsider that position. And if you need some encouragement, some help, some guidance, whatever it is to help you to truly be able to forgive, then let us know that. Ray will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to talk with him, have a private prayer or conversation. Jerry and I will be here up in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up. If there's someone here this morning who has not yet given your life to Christ, you haven't repented of your sins, and you need to understand you're still lost and separated from God. But again, the same question, do you believe God? That if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will purify you of all sin. Well, the message there is that if you're ready to commit yourself to Christ, then call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of those sins that are separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. We've got water that's ready right behind me. If that's what you need to do, you're invited to come. Let's stand together and sing.